Sinead and Eulachon, how are you?
Hello, happy Halloween. How are you, Ray? I suppose it's not Halloween just yet, but we're getting in the mood for all things spooky today.
Well, it's the month. It's the month of it, isn't it? It's the month. What gives you a fright? Because I know you've been asking people what gives them a fright.
Do you know what gives me a fright? I'm like the character from Catherine Tate. If somebody walks into the room and I know they're about to walk into the room, it still gives me a bit of a fright. And sometimes I let out a little bit of a scream.
Right.
So if somebody says, I am walking into the room, still it does take a second or two for me to adjust. So it's those small little things.
Small little things, right?
Yeah, not knowing that there's somebody behind you and then that they might speak.
Yeah.
That gives me a bit of a fright. What about you?
Well, I was in the Scouts years ago and we went up to Glendalough or Kilruddery or someplace like that and stayed in a big old house. And there was stories been told before you went to bed. And there was a story of a headless horseman. Right? Now, we were up in the attic, right, with a Velux window. But yet I was awake all night, fearful that the headless horseman would come in through the Velux window. And I don't know what he was going to do to me or whatever, but like I've just, it's an abiding memory. It's clear as day or night or whatever.
The power of storytelling as well, how somebody can put this image across and that it stays with you. You mightn't even have seen the thing that happened, but however way they describe it, that it remains in your memory for years and years like it did with you.
Yeah, I'm scarred. I'm actually scarred as a result. Now that I think about it.
Can you look at Velux windows the same?
Yes. I wonder, can they tell ghost stories anymore? Is that allowed? You wouldn't purposely scare some 10-year-old now, would you? Or would you?
I don't think that you would purposely,
no.
But I feel like it was a part of growing up when we were younger.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the Scouts there, I was imagining people gathered around the fire at night, a bonfire or a little campfire outside telling ghost stories. There used to be a programme on Den 2, I'm sure you remember it, Ray, Are You Afraid of the Dark? And
yes.
I think that the programme was that the children would sit around the fire and then that the story would be told and they'd go to the different scenes. But it's certainly something that stands out from my childhood. Maybe not actually being the person listening to the stories around the fireside, but the image of it.
Well, there was no campfire back in this version of events because it was too cold. We were inside in whatever house it was. But scared out of my wits. Now, this is the question you asked people today. So how did you phrase it?
Well, I said, what gives you a fright or what has frightened you in the past?
Uh-huh.
And Thomas had a spooky story.
Well, there was one time when I was age about 8 or 9, woke up in the middle of the night and there was an old lady there looking in the mirror of the wardrobe and brushing her hair. That was the one big fright I would have got in my life. I do think it was a ghost, yeah. And I would have said it to my family at the time and my mum and that, but nobody believed me. People used to say, like, years ago, there was always these stories around the banshee. And maybe it was that, yeah.
Mm.
Somebody did beep during that short interview, which gave me a little bit of a fright as well.
You jumped.
I jumped.
Yeah. Now there's often scientific explanations for this. There's this time when you're not asleep and you're not awake. And there's sort of a paralysis, you're sort of paralysed.
Yeah.
And you may be in a dreaming state. So you think you're awake and you think you see something, but you're actually dreaming it. That might account for what happened to Thomas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes items in the bedroom can create shapes.
Shadows.
Sometimes you see what you want to see. And maybe if you have watched a scary movie before going to bed, that you see a person, but really it's a lampshade with a coat hanging over it.
Right.
Or maybe it's a banshee.
Or maybe it's a cat.
Cats. I actually can't stand them. They put the shivers up me. And the girl next door to me has 12. And now that Halloween is coming, I'm sure there's going to be a million more of them, not just 12.
But don't they say it's good luck if you see a black cat?
Yeah, but I haven't seen a black cat, because only for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I just see all other colours. So yeah, I am an animal lover. Give me anything else. I'm not even afraid of the rats or the mice. I'm just afraid of the cats.
Maniacal laugh at the end there. That's Christine.
Yeah.
I thought black cat was bad luck.
Well, I thought it was good luck if you saw it that you'd do the lotto that day.
Right. Well, maybe if it crosses your path, I think it's bad luck. They might tell us. Everyone has a different story. 5 on 5, 5-1. Mm-hmm. So that was Christine. Who'd you meet next?
Well, we're going from cats to rats. This is Maureen, Christine's mother.
The only thing I don't like them is rats. I just don't like the look of them if they're running around. But we used to have a long back garden, and when the girls were all at home, there was one rat used to come happy of the garden, and we used to call it Roland. Remember?
Yeah, remember that cartoon, Roland Rat?
No.
Years ago, he wasn't afraid of anything. Came up the back garden.
You don't know Roland Rat?
Yeah. No, but when I Googled him, I did recognise the image, the face.
Yeah.
But I don't remember watching Roland Rat at all.
Huge.
On telly.
He was huge, what? As in
was
very
he on
popular.
The BBC?
Yes. Wasn't Roland Rat the BBC? Or was it RTE?
Yeah. I don't remember him from the days on the, watching the Den.
There was another rat on RTE. Somebody will remind me who that was. And then Zig and Zag came along. But Roland Rat was huge. He had, I think he had a hit song and everything. Huge.
No
before
way.
Your time, yeah, yeah.
Before my time, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. Now, Saoirse is a bit like you, is she?
She certainly is, yeah. It's the small things.
It seems to me constantly when I'm in work and people are coming up behind me when I'm at the desk. So jumpy when I'm in work. Never when I'm at home or anything. It's so funny. I work in a library.
Are you vocal when you're frightened?
I try not to be when I'm in the library.
That's the golden rule.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes I am. They get me really good, but most of the time I'm not. So it's grand. Mostly colleagues. And I don't even mean to do it. It's just like, I'll be talking to someone, they'll butt in, and then I'll get scared. Because I don't expect them to be behind me, you know?
Right.
You could imagine in the library as well that it's so silent, and then next thing you just hear a voice. Excuse me, and boom, you jump out of your skin like Saoirse does.
Yeah, and you.
Yeah.
Mary.
Mm-hmm. It's when the dogs get frightened, you know, at Halloween with the firecrackers, because their hearing is so much more defined than ours. My dog's name is Woody, and he's a Springer.
And it goes to show the relationship you have with your dog, that you're frightened when he's frightened.
Absolutely. We have to bring him in, you know, because otherwise he'll run, you know, and we could lose him. And it's the same for all dogs, not just Woody. So people should just be mindful of that.
Ah, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Around Halloween. Yeah. Who did you meet next?
Well, next up was Ken.
Probably as a young kid, watching the old horror movies. Dracula. That scared the bejesus out of me, all right, yeah. Halloween, I love kind of dressing up for the kids. It's just great to see their faces, and when you're dressed up, kind of give them a little bit of a scare. So,
what will you dress up as this year?
Fully clothed as the Grim Reaper. So, I kind of stand in the hall, my daughters might be there, and as soon as the door opens, I'm just stood there like that before they hand out the sweets and things like that. Put your hand out to shake their hand, then, you know, kind of diffuse it a little bit, because some of them, they'll be really scared, you know. But, yeah, it's good fun.
I don't know what that was.
And you know what? It's those subtle little movements. It's not about the boo or the ugh, but it's the little subtle movements that you don't expect that really scare people.
Yeah, and spiders.
Spiders, oh, yeah. Getting into the bats that are a lot bigger these days. Big and black. The best thing you can do is shout and they'll just think.
Could you not put them out on a little piece of tissue? No,
I wouldn't touch them, no.
No.
No, I always come back in again.
And when you see one, how does your body react?
You usually get a shiver or a jump, yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Grania in Ballymore Eustace has been on. If a black cat crosses your path, it's good luck.
Oh.
No. And of course, scouts still tell ghost stories. I'm a leader, and we'll have a late meeting next week with a campfire, s'mores and ghost stories, says Claire.
Ah.
And Padgett was the rat on the telly on RTE.
Oh.
Roland Rat was on ITV. And Roland was not huge, only if you had the channels. Padgett was the rat on RTE, says Claire. A lot of rats around back then.
Yeah. I remember Padgett and the Salty Frog. Wasn't that it, the name of the show?
Probably.
Trip down memory lane.
Yeah. Ray, the in-between sleep feeling is called Trum Lui in Irish. It's a frightening experience, says Tim in Dublin. So there you go. Maybe that's what happened to Thomas. Okay, so you're on your way for more frights.
More frights. Yeah, I'm on my way out to Killiney. I'm going to meet Ken Carraher. He runs Ken's Halloween House of Horrors. Now, when I say he runs it, it's his home. Right. But he erects a marquee in the garden every year, and he's been doing it for 25 years or so. And he fills the marquee with props and with decorations. There are witches and ghosts and mummies and spiders and cobwebs and you name it. And it's a spooky place to be. He opens the door of the marquee. He opens the marquee to local people or anyone who wants to come for 4 days from the 28th until the 31st of October. Right. And at the moment, he's kitting everything out and I'm going to get a sneak peek at the house.
I've looked at videos of Ken and his Halloween House of Horrors and it is spooktacular.
Oh, I can't wait.
Good luck. Talk to you then.
Thanks.
Well, on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Sinead and Unicorn.
Hello, Ray. Welcome to Ken's Halloween House of Horrors. It is spooky here. I've made it into the marquee. There was smoke rising as I entered. There was a graveyard to my left-hand side. There are mummies spread all around, skeletons. I think I'd be here all day trying to count all the props. There are spiders. If I look up towards the roof of the marquee, it's covered in furry spiders. I don't know if I'd like to touch them, though. There's something to see in every corner. There's a pathway that leads round and you walk around to get the full effect of the House of Horrors. It's amazing. And red lights as well. It's spooky. It's all set, nearly. There's a little bit more work to do, but Ken is by my side and he's been working all day and has been for the past few weeks as well. Another little bit to do before the 28th, though.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. How are you, Ken?
Hi, Ray.
You need a bit of oil there on something. It sounds a bit squeaky.
Yeah. I know. A bit of WD-40.
Yeah, a bit. Solves everything. Solves everything, Ken, WD-40. Listen, congratulations. 25 years of Ken's Halloween House of Horrors up in Killiney.
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah. And you've been all over the world. I've there's newspapers from various countries have been to visit you and reported on you. You're world famous. How did it all start, Ken?
Oh, 25 years ago, I worked for the ESB and I had to go in and kill the ESB supply in the building. It was already demolished. So I went outside, cut the cable, came in and checked it was dead. And then I saw two mannequins. It was around Halloween time. So he asked the foreman on site, any chance to take two mannequins? He says, take what you like because you're the last person walking out of this building, then it's been demolished. Mm. So I had a wicked sense of humour. I was thinking of dressing them up as witches and plant them into trees like a witch lost her way.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the legs were static, couldn't move. So I just hit them up by the side of the window at the house. So it was two mannequins and one light. That was 25 years ago. And now it's hundreds of lights and thousands of props.
Like, have you counted how many props you have, Ken?
Oh, God, no. It's in the thousands.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
And this takes over your life.
Probably only about 20-30%.
This takes over your life every year.
Yes, it has.
Yes,
It's kind of become. Some people say it's an obsession. They're probably right. Being honest with you.
How long does it take to set the whole thing up?
Yeah, we start building the marquee second last Friday of September. From then on, it's just go, go, go. And now I'm on 4 weeks annual leave to 2 weeks to kit it out, put it on for the 4 days, and then take it back down again.
And then
my friend John, he takes 2 weeks annual leave.
Right. And initially, did people go into your house, Ken? Is that the way it was?
Oh, years ago, yeah. But we'll have between 5,000-6,000 people over the 4 days. So I couldn't have 5,000 or 6,000 people going through the house.
Hmm.
But through the marquee, yes. And outside it then, yeah.
Where do you get your props from?
Yeah. Oh, the best props are coming from America. Being honest with you, like, but you're paying dear for them. And then there's a company called Mad About Horror over in England, and they're brilliant because they're after, I mean, in getting motors. I had to repair a load of machines there this morning,
right?
From last year because we got wiped out. But and then Ireland, and then we'd make some ourselves, and like all the coffins and all, we'd make ourselves.
You make your own coffins? Oh, great.
You know.
Yeah. And so the mannequins move. And what's your most recent purchase?
Oh, the recent purchase I've been trying to get it for 3 years is a witch from America, and now she's static. She doesn't move, but
the detail in her is incredible, like, you know. And then with her, we got called Gerds, they're kind of like massive big pumpkins. And same again, it took me a couple of years to get that one of them.
Ken?
Yeah, Ray.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you hear me? Sorry, I don't know why I'm there.
I can hear you again.
Yeah, you're there. Yeah. Sorry, you're cut off there. So, it's a witch, is it?
It's a witch, yeah. But the detail in her is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I tell you? Yeah, I'm delighted I got it now. And cost a wee bit, but it was worth it.
In all the reports about you from over the years, one thing that isn't mentioned is that you're afraid of the dark.
Petrified of it. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I live beside Cloney Beach. 3-minute walk, I'm on the beach. And I won't walk the beach at night time in the dark. Forget it, won't happen. And then there's the cliff walk. So I'd walk the dog on the cliff walk.
Yeah.
But I'd have 3 torches. I wouldn't carry one or two. No, it'd be 3. And some of the times I'd find my daughter Aoife in London. Just on the safe side, like, you know. for a bit of company.
That's mad. Yeah, no, I suppose
I've never ever liked it.
You're embracing what you fear. And Aoife, your daughter, she comes home as well, does she, to help you out?
Herself and her boyfriend Sam, yeah, they'd be home to help out at for Halloween, yeah. But there's a load of people involved, and all the local youth and adults then as well in Bayview. They'll all help out.
And you're raising funds for a charity very close to my heart, Deborah Ireland,
yeah. Yeah.
So how does it work now? It's open for 4 nights. So tell us how it works.
It's open for 4 nights from 8 p.m. to 8 p.m. and then on Halloween night itself, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that's it then. Because, like, we live in a housing estate and we're surrounded by, you know, people and we're neighbours. So, like, they have a lot to contend with. Because we live between 5,000-6,000 people. You know, and that's normal the last few years. That's what we normally be having.
And they donate to the charity,
you know,
which is great. They donate. No,
I'd love to put on a lot for longer, but we can't. Like, yeah, it's just so much involved in it.
It is spooktacular. It's amazing. It's a life's work. And I see you're 65. Are you retiring anytime soon?
We'll see. I don't know. No, it won't be this year. Anyway.
No, it won't be this year. Right. The other question is...
You might go to 66.
You might go to 66. No. And because you work for the ESB, do you get a staff discount on the electricity that you use?
No. My electricity bill just doubles. No.
Yeah, yeah.
But so a lot of that's the least of my worries, the electricity bill.
Yeah. A lot of stuff is LED now. It doesn't use as much electricity anyway, does it?
It is. But the lighting be LED, so it's brilliant. But the smoke machines, like, they're the killer, because we have about 7 smoke machines going at any one time.
Right, yeah.
So they would draw a lot of power. Yeah. So it's like having an instant shower on.
Ken?
That must be the ghosts and goblins coming through.
I don't know what's going on here. It's ghosts in the machine.
I haven't a clue. There's something spooky going on.
There's ghosts in the machine. I have no idea what's going on here, Ken. I don't want to talk to you again because you're making things happen here that are a bit spooky. So it's the 28th, 29th, 30th from 4 to 8. And the brilliant thing is, and 31st as well, that when you open at 4, it's daylight. So for the younger ones, they can come along, and yourself as well, because you're afraid of the dark. You can go along and get in there and out before it gets dark, before it gets too scary. Well, listen, congratulations on your 25th year, and keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great work there. Thanks, Ken. Sinead.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Thanks, Ken.
Yes.
Sinead, you're okay there, are you?
Thank you, I'm okay. Fine, great. It's spooky and creepy and the lights are changing, but I'm okay. I've Ken by my side.
Okay, great. Okay. Gramaga Sinead, thanks very much. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.